Good morning. My name is Carol Crave, and I want to tell you a little bit about myself and how I got into doing Bible studies. Several years ago, I almost wasn't here. I had a very severe case of appendicitis, and if it wouldn't have been for the wonderful doctors, I would be a goner right now, because it had my appendix moved from my right side, where it's supposed to be, over to my stomach, my belly button. And no doctor that checked onto me or into me or whatever knew what I had. I had no symptoms of appendicitis. So they did an exploratory surgery on me and found out, yes, my appendix moved, burst, and turned into gangrene. So I'm very fortunate to be here today. With that happening, I started praying, and I asked God, I says, you must have something in store for me yet, but what? I have no idea. And when? And where? So with these questions always on my mind, I happened to come across a lady friend, Sue Soppy, who is a member of the church, and we got to talking about church. So she invited me here one time, and, well, not just once. I'm still here. But anyhow, she invited me. I came. I enjoyed what I heard and saw. I loved the music and all the messages. Then we started, I started looking into the bulletin, and I saw where there was a women's Bible study coming up. So I asked her, I says, well, you know, what's Bible study all about? And, you know, what do you do and whatnot, you know? So she says, come on, let's go to it. So, okay, I came. I enjoyed it very much. But I found out I'm very dumb. I'm stupid. I don't know anything about the Bible. I had no idea what they were talking about. So after that, the Bible study was ending, and all of a sudden, Pastor Jim started with the chronological Bible study. So I'm going, this might be interesting. So I asked if I could join it. Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Even though you're not a member, you're welcome to come. So I did. And I learned, oh, my, so much. I couldn't believe it. Then after that, I went into the welcome class, and then I learned about your church, more about that. And as I'm going into all these different groups and talks and organizations and Bible studies and whatnot, I'm learning, wow, these people are really friendly. I got to know so many of you. Well, maybe not this morning group, but I come usually in the afternoon or the later service. But with that, though, I still see some that I've been in with Bible studies. Then after the welcome class, more Bible studies kept coming up. And I thought, oh, man, what an opportunity to learn, to study, to know more about Jesus, which when I first started, I really didn't know anything, but now I'm getting to know a lot more, and I still want to learn. I'm still coming to Bible studies. I enjoy them. They're very interesting. I get to meet a lot of friendly people, and I get to know more of them, more about them as time goes on. So I would really encourage you, even if you have been in a Bible study, say like Romans, for instance, maybe you've done it several years ago, come back again. Do it again. You might be surprised what you learn again. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Ed Crive. I kind of did things backwards, I guess. Carol got into the Bible studies, and between her and Carl Salpe, they got me started on it. At first I didn't want to go. And Carol says, well, she kind of prompted me. And, of course, all you married guys know that if your wife's not happy, you're not happy. So I went to my first Bible study, and I've got a habit of, I like to be somewhere just a little early, and Pastor Jim was there. He asked me what my religious beliefs were, and I says, well, my mother was a Sunday school teacher many years ago, and I believe in God. And he turned about the color of that ceiling, white. And I thought, that wasn't the right answer. So between the first and the third Bible study, I learned a whole lot. The Lord became my Savior. I realized He died on the cross for me. His blood was shed to wash away my sins. And I also learned that Jim's background was a missionary, and he was taught well. So he did a good job of leading me to the Lord. I've enjoyed Bible studies since then. I'm doing two each week. I go Tuesday mornings to Fredonia, and Tuesday evenings I come here with Carol. And I too recommend that if you haven't done a Bible study recently, join one. You don't necessarily have to be the beginning of one. You can jump in any time. And I'm sure Pastor Jim or any of the other people would be glad to see you. I enjoy the fellowship at the Bible studies. It's a good time to get together and meet new people and that sort of thing. So to me, the Bible studies were what actually led me to the Lord. Well, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Ed and Carol, for sharing your testimonies with us this morning. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 19 this morning. We're going to continue this series that Sid has started of God's glory in the church with kind of a subtitle, Why We Do What We Do, in the sense of evaluating our different ministries, why we do the things that we do here at Open Door Bible Church. And this morning our focus is on Bible studies and adult Bible fellowships, our adult ministries. But I want you to see a passage of Scripture that's really been exciting to me. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is on his third missionary journey. In verse 8, he's at Ephesus in the western half, right on the toward the west coast of what's present-day Turkey. And there he was ministering at Ephesus. He spent 3 months preaching from the synagogue there, the Jewish synagogue, and trying to persuade the Jews to trust in Christ, that He was a solution, He was the answer to their needs. In verse 9, it tells us that the Jews become hardened. They stopped. They didn't want to listen, those who didn't put their faith in Christ. And Paul then took those who had believed, and they started meeting in a place, this school of Tyrannus. Excuse me. And Paul was teaching them, discipling them daily. You notice that in verse 9? It says, daily they met together there, and Paul was teaching these people. And then in verse 10, it says that this took place for 2 years. In my translation has so that. It's a result of this 2 years of Paul's ministry to these people, so that all who lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now that's a pretty short passage of Scripture, but there's a lot in there. There's a lot going on that we don't fully know. But what it seems that's really going on there is as Paul started this church with these Jewish believers first and then bringing other Gentiles, other nationality people that was living there, and Paul started teaching these people. And as he taught them and trained them, These people went out over the whole province and started churches all over the area. The seven churches that's recorded in Revelation were probably started during this time. Of course, Ephesus is one of them. We're studying on Tuesday nights the book of Colossians. And in that book, we learn that a man by the name of Epaphras started that church. It was probably during this time that he came in contact with Paul there at Ephesus. And he was from Colossae, but he got there to Ephesus and somehow got in contact with Paul. Paul taught him. He went back to his home area and started a church there at Colossae. If you look in the book of Colossians, it talks about that in chapter 1. Excuse me. Of how Epaphras was a part of that thing. Well, I don't know if you can get this picture, but the exciting thing that's here unfolded in this passage is as Paul taught and trained these people, the gospel went all over. Colossae is over 100 miles from Ephesus. This wasn't just all happening in the same town, okay? But it's what is supposed to happen throughout the world as the gospel goes out. We need to be taught, we need to be grounded, we need to be trained, and we need to understand that God wants to use each one of us that trust Christ as Savior to keep spreading the gospel. You believe that? The purpose in adult ministries for us here at Open Door Bible Church is to study God's Word, to be trained in it, that we can go out and reach others, and that we will all grow spiritually in our relationship with Christ and realize that God wants to use us, each one of us, to be a part of His ministry. That's so vital important. If church is about gathering together a whole bunch of people and listening to one person, and we absorb as much as we can absorb, and we go home and wait until next week and absorb some more, and we're not involved in the ministry, we're going to kill the function, what God intended to happen through the church. You believe that? Coming here and showing up for 1 hour on Sunday morning is not all that God has for you. You believe that? I think you know that. We're to be actively involved. And we must want to see that. Now go to the book of Ephesians. That's where we're going to be spending our time this morning. And there's two things that we need to see is God's plan for us, the big picture for us as believers. He didn't send His Son to come to the world and die on a cross just so we'd have a ticket to heaven. Now, that's part of it, of course. But He didn't save us just so we can go to heaven. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 4, God gives us His plan in the eternity past. Just a little bit of a glimpse there. It says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, before He ever created the world, He had a plan. In His plan it was to take people like us, believers, and He would transform us that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Before He ever created the world, He knew that mankind was going to fall through Adam and Eve and the garden and all that. But God's plan was for eternity future that we're going to be with Him and we're going to be holy and blameless before Him. He had a purpose. He had a plan. And it's important that we see His purpose and plan. Because sometimes as believers, we get hung up in just being thrilled to death that God saves sinners. And I'm a sinner. And I'm never going to change. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But as we look in the Scripture, God wants to transform us. In that process. In verse 6, he goes on and says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He bestowed on us in the Beloved, He did plan, our salvation, that's all of grace. It's not what we do for ourselves. It's not how we please God. It's that God pours out His grace on us in the Beloved, in Christ. And we come to know Christ as our Savior when we trust Him. Verse 7 goes on and says that Christ redeemed us through His blood. He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, that we can have eternal life by putting our faith in Him. We can have the forgiveness of our sins. And it's all according to the riches of His grace, it says. Verse 8, which He lavished upon us. We've got to understand God's grace. It's not what we do for God. It's what He's done for us. And as we understand His grace, He didn't want us just to leave us where we are, to be saved, if you will, and still be a sinner, and just hope that someday I'm going to heaven, and God will fix everything that's up that's wrong now. But God wants to transform our lives. And He gives us this opportunity when once we come to know Christ as Savior. In chapter 2, in verse 8 and 9, special verses that we've all enjoyed understanding. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. We're saved by His grace. It's a response of faith, understanding that Christ paid the penalty for our sin, that we can be saved, right? But when we understand that, God has more for us. Back up to verse 7. It says, when we get to heaven, He wants to show us so that in the ages to come He might show us the surpassing riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We're going to be holy and blameless at that time. Okay? And He's going to show us all the riches of His grace, the things that we can't even understand at this point, of what God's plan and program is for us as believers. It's going to be an exciting time. But God doesn't want us to wait till then to get a part of His program. He plans for each one of us when we come to know Christ as Savior, we're to grow, we're to mature in our walk with Him, and we're to be servants for Him or to be ministers for Him to accomplish His purposes. In chapter 1 again, backing up there, in verses 15 on, the rest of the chapter, Paul gives a prayer for these believers. And I think the key verse in verse 17, as he begins his prayer, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. The thing that's going to transform our lives now is to get the big picture of what God has planned for us, and that we have this, what's called here, this revelation, wisdom from God, that God, through His Holy Spirit, when we trust Him as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in and becomes our teacher. He teaches us. He trains us. And He wants us to understand who He is. This knowledge of Him is just not academic knowledge. It's to have a personal, vital relationship with God. Not just to have more head knowledge, but to be used by Him. And He goes on in this prayer in verse 18 that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. That's what we sing about this morning in one of the songs. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that we would grasp who He really is and how He wants to use us to bring glory to Himself. You get down to verse 19 and it talks about the greatness of God's power. God's power is to be unleashed in us as believers. He wants to work through us to use us, as imperfect as we are in this world. He wants to use us, transforming us to be like the Lord Jesus and reaching out to others to express His love, His grace to them. And that God would accomplish His purposes. What happened to Paul and the ministry there in Ephesus, in that province, is what God wants to see happen over and over again around the world. Do we get excited to realize that God really does want the gospel to go to people that don't know Him? And that He wants to use you and me to be a part of that? He would really like to see this area of Wisconsin turned upside down for the gospel. You believe that? What's keeping that from happening? I think in one sense, the limitation is with us because we don't believe what the book says. He wants to use us. He wants the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, the supernatural power of God that brought Christ back to life again, and He lives forever. That power, it says here in chapter 1, is the power that He gives us as believers to transform our lives and to take us as just clay pots, as Pastor Sid had in the series before, I forget which week it was. We're just old clay pots, but we have this treasure, this wonderful treasure of the gospel in us when we know Christ is our Savior, and we're to share that. Right? Don't you want to be a part of what God's doing? And somehow, as we're a part of this thing, in eternity, we're going to learn the fullness of God's plan to use us, as imperfect as we are, but to share God's grace with others. And in eternity, God's going to unfold this thing to us, and we're going to be able to glorify God more by our obedience in following Him and serving Him now, allowing Him to use us in this world. It's a tremendous privilege that He's given us. In verse 10 of chapter 2, right after it talks about how we're saved by His grace, it's not of any of our works, we just respond in faith to what God has revealed to us about Christ's death on the cross for us, the substitution He made for us. But He goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works." See, God has recreated us. We're His workmanship. When we trust in Christ, He creates us new. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. He gives us a new nature, alive to God. And He wants to work through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to produce good works. And it says here that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In eternity past, before He created the world, you see, He planned that we were going to be His vessels of service to accomplish His purposes on this world. Tremendous opportunity. Just think of it. God Almighty has chosen to use us to be His vehicle, His vessels, to get the proclamation of the gospel out. Why did He choose angels? They maybe would have done a better job. You ever thought of that? Do you ever get an opportunity to talk to somebody about Christ and all of a sudden you get tongue-tied and you don't know what to say? Well, I have. I don't know if you have or not. But still, God has chosen us, to be His vessels, to be His people, to share the gospel. And that we can be an encouragement to one another. That's why He started the church. He knows that we can't do it alone. We need each other. We need the encouragement from each other. But He desired to use us. In chapter 2, verses 11 to the end of the chapter, Paul brings up a thing there in the church that was a very serious problem in Paul's day. It was an issue between Jews and Gentiles. And we saw just a little glimpse of that there in chapter 19 when Paul is at Acts. The Jews, some responded to the Lord and some of them didn't. There was a tremendous division between Jews and Gentiles. The Jews could not understand how God could ever accept these wicked pagan Gentiles to be in His family. The Jews thought they were the special people of God. And they were in the Old Testament. God had chosen the Jews to be His agent. But in the New Testament days, God changed the program. And he made available to whoever will respond in faith to Jesus Christ, they are part of His church. And the church now is agent to spread the gospel. Right? It's His program. He did it. And one of the serious issues that Paul had to deal with in his ministry was the prejudices that was between the Jewish believers and these Gentile believers. Do you know there's still prejudices going on today in the body of Christ? It's one of the biggest hang-ups. We can't get along with each other because there's prejudices. We can't accept each other in the body of Christ. Well, Paul deals with that here in Ephesians. Those kind of things. But when he gets to chapter 4 and verse 1, which he starts the real practical application. How do we live this life now? We have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. He wants to use us. How is He going to use us? As old wicked sinners saved by grace. Well, he starts out in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." God has called us to Himself. He's planned in the future. We're going to be holy and blameless before Him. He wants us to start practicing now. You know that? He wants us to start practicing so that we're prepared for eternity. But notice when Paul says, "I implore you," God doesn't force spiritual growth on us. You realize that? Somehow in God's grace, and I don't really understand it all, but somehow in God's grace, He wants to see God's plan and that we willingly will submit to Him and His plan. He desires us to respond. To be saved, we must respond in faith to His glorious plan of salvation. Right? To serve Him, we must respond in submission to Him. He can't use us if we're proud and arrogant and go on in our own ways. And Paul, as he lays out the position that we have in Christ, in His grace, that He's chosen us to use us, that we'd grow, that we'd understand God's will, now He implores us, He beseeches us, He urges us to submit to Christ. Let Him work out in your life what He wants to do so that He can accomplish His purposes through us. If we refuse to submit to Him, we will not accomplish His purposes. And the first thing that He talks about after that, look in verse 2 and 3, it's our attitudes. It's our attitudes that have to change. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then he explains in verses 4 to 6 how we are unified as believers in Christ. God has unified us in His body. We have the same Spirit. We have the same hope. We have the same Lord. Same faith. There's one baptism, referring to spiritual baptism. There's only one God and Father of us all. But now how is this supposed to work? Starting in verses 7 down to verse 16, Paul lays out the issues about the church. Because there's something about it, what we tend to do in our Bible studies, what we tend to understand, that when we come to know Christ our Savior, we see this relationship, me and God. I need to submit to God. I need to confess my sins and I need to have this relationship with God. And that's very true. But what Paul starts out in the application is you've got to see the picture of the church. You've got to understand the church. We're here together. When we trust Christ, we're part of His body. We need to function together. We need to help each other. Because the church is God's agent for us to grow, to mature, and to serve. God didn't make us individualists, if you will. That's not God's plan. God wants us a part of the church. In verse 7, He says He gives every believer spiritual gifts to minister. It's a grace gift. I think it even says here in verse 7, it says He's given grace. Each one of us, He's given grace was given according to the measure of Christ. What does it mean? It's talking about the spiritual gifts. But it's grace. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. God gives it to us. So as a body, we can function together and minister to each other in this context of the church family. Do you get that? It's so vital because whatever we do in our forms, in our Bible studies, our adult Bible fellowship, what we do in a worship service here, if we don't get the concept that God wants to use us in each other's lives, we're missing it. We're not going to get it. If you come in here on Sunday morning to sit down and just absorb what you can absorb and then leave, you won't grow. We've got to have the interaction of the body so these principles from God's Word sink home to our hearts, that our old bad habits that we've carried into the Christian life that we did as unbelievers, it's got to go. Those things that we used to do need to change. Now, not everything is wrong, right? But our attitudes, the things of sin, the things that are wrong priorities, we need to change. How do we get the right principles? We get excited by being together as a body and seeing how God is working in this person's life. We hear their testimony, what God did in their life, and it excites us, doesn't it? Doesn't it excite you to hear somebody's testimony? How God used His Word and used the body of Christ to see others come to Him? Well, that's what it's all about. In verse 11, it tells us that Christ gave the church leadership ministries. We'll just call it that way. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They're to be equippers. What Paul did at Ephesus when he was teaching in the school there of Tyrannus, that's what he's talking about. That's what he did. And that's what he explains here that the church is supposed to do. There's people that God in gifts to teach God's Word, to train people, so that we all get involved in the ministry. What does it say? What's their job? What do they do? In verse 12 it says, for the equipping of the saints. Pastors, teachers are to do what? They're to train, they're to equip all the believers to be in the ministry. If we get the mindset that the pastors, the paid staff, is to do the ministry, we've missed it. That is not what the Word says, is it? And it will not get accomplished. All the contacts that you have in your week, day by day, as you go through your life, and week by week, you're going to meet people that I'll never meet. Isn't that true? And you have opportunities with those people to express your love for Christ, to express your care for them in the context you have, whether they deserve your love and your care or not, right? You have an opportunity to express it to them. You have an opportunity to shine for Christ in life and with your mouth. And you need to understand that God wants to use you in that capacity. He really does. And if we'll function in these ways, we'll accomplish His purposes. Well, there's to be the equipping to go on. And that all the saints get involved in the work of service, the work of ministry. And that will bring the result of that will bring us all mature. We will grow. We'll attain to the unity of the faith. To the right doctrine. I think that's what the faith is referring to. The right doctrine. The faith. The right things to believe that's recorded in the Scripture. And the knowledge of the Son of God. that we really come to know Christ, not again just knowledge, but it's a personal relationship to a mature man, to the measure, the stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We're to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. God's desire is that in character, in our life, no matter what our circumstances are, we're to be transformed from whatever we were to be just like the Lord Jesus in character quality. That's quite a job, isn't it, that God has to do to transform us, to be just like Jesus. But that's what He's about. And He wants us to realize this is His goal. And as we're allowing Him to transform us, as we're submitting to Him day by day, making the right choices, doing what He wants, saying what He wants, and not just letting it fly loose, whatever comes to our mind, you know? We're being conformed to Christ, and God is using those statements that we make to edify others, to encourage others, the actions that we do. God's using that in the lives of others to bring people to Himself. Isn't that wonderful? So why do we have ABFs? Why do we have Bible studies? Well, we do need to understand the Scripture. We need to have a good biblical foundation. God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us. He wants to work through us. But the way He works is when we're exposed to the Scripture. He brings conviction. He brings understanding as we study God's Word. And we've got to do it God's way. We can't do it our own way. So we do need to be taught God's Word. We need to understand. We need to be trained. But not just to have the head knowledge. Not that we can just quote all the Scriptures. But that we can take that and use it in our lives. And allow God to really change us from the inside out. Minister to other people. In the ABFs that we started here years ago, that was before I came, right? Why did we switch to ABFs, having relational adult classes, as to electives of picking a subject and studying a subject and rotating every quarter to a different subject? Well, the main reason is what's brought out here in this portion of Scripture in verse 16. The idea that everyone in the body is supposed to be ministering and encouraging one another. From whom the whole body, every believer, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Every believer is supposed to have a ministry in each other's lives here in the body of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's through that ministry will cause each of us to grow and will be built up and God will get the glory. We've got to have relationships with each other. Like Carol mentioned in her testimony, she knows more of the people that come to the second service than the first service. Why? Because that's when she comes. It's impossible at this point in the size of our church for each one of us to know everybody else well in our church family. Isn't that true? It's embarrassing for some of us who've been here a long time because there's a lot of people we don't know. And it's hard because when the church was smaller for the people, it was here from the beginning. Skeeter has sometimes said to me, I wish we still at 40. Then I knew everybody. But we don't want to stay at 40, do we? Do we only want 40 people in the Port Washington area that knows the Lord? No, we want to grow. It'd be wonderful with thousands of us. The only problem is we can't know everybody once we get large, right? We need to have units that we can come together, that we can have this body principle of function, that we know everybody in this ABF, and that we can minister to each other, we can be an encouragement to each other, that we can grow through those relationships. Is that important? The thing that I've heard I don't know what you personally think of mega churches and all this kind of stuff. But any church that's a large church that's really growing and teaching their people, they all have some way of breaking down that congregation into small groups by ABS or small group ministry. Do you realize that? It's biblical. We have to do it. If we don't, we will not grow. We will not accomplish the purpose that God has for us. We have to have that interaction. And in the ABS, if you didn't know, there's three main things that we try to do in a class in ABF. There's a fellowship time, there's a prayer time, and there's a Bible study time. You realize that? Now some, I think our fellowship time is just because the leaders aren't on the ball and don't get started on time. Because we donate 15 minutes from 9:30 to 10, what is it, quarter to 10, for fellowship. That could be the most important part of the ABF hour. But I'm not sure we're using it to the greatest extent that what it really should be. We have snacks, that's good. But the real time is to mingle. Is there anybody in this ABF yet, one of you go to, that you do not know, or not know very well, or have trouble remembering their name? Well, go up to them and ask their name one more time, get acquainted, talk to them. Let this function that God insists as part of the church life of this intermingling, get to know people in your ABF well. That you can be an encouragement to them. Okay? That's what it's about. Those 15 minutes are to be dedicated that we get to know each other and we encourage each other. Don't just sit down on a seat and wait for the leaders to finally get up and get this thing moving. Okay? Mingle around with others. Change your seat. Go sit over this table. Kingdom seekers, they sit at tables. The rest of us just sit on chairs. But mingle around. Get to know each other. How can we be an encouragement to each other? Because just as much as some of us come here on Sunday morning and are really pumped up and excited with the things that transpired in this last week, there's others of us that are discouraged because things didn't go so well last week. Right? Isn't that true? Have you ever been in that place? Well, God puts in the body some that's encouraged, while others need the encouragement. And we need to minister to each other. It's so important. I wished I had time to visit with everyone on Sunday morning. I don't. I see people, mostly I stand in the back, and I stand there with a purpose in the back because I want to see everybody that's here. I want to connect. My best connection sometimes is the back of their heads. That's all I see. Sometimes I can't figure out who it is because they changed their hairdo and I can't figure out who in the world that person is. But I want to have that connection. But it's got to go beyond that, doesn't it? That doesn't minister to you at all that I see the back of your head. But somehow as a body of believers, we need to really connect with each other, right? And that's what God wants to accomplish. As we're studying God's Word, as we're growing, God wants to use us to be an encouragement to one another. The most productive place, I think if we had time for everyone to express themselves, when they grow, when they feel connected, is in small groups. Wouldn't you say that? If you've been in a Bible study where there's interaction, you get to know each other, you're studying and you're sharing, you're exchanging your views and understanding that we grasp what the passage is really saying and try to apply it to our lives, that's when we grow. It's exciting to me to see the many Bible studies that are going on, but we ought to have a whole lot more. We really ought to have a whole lot more going on. Or we will not accomplish what Paul is talking about here, that we grow up spiritually through the function of the body. In verse 14 of chapter 4, it talks about, as a result, if we grow up mature, we'll no longer be children. See, God doesn't want us to be immature spiritually. We're not to be children. We're to grow up. And the problem with being children, we're immature spiritually, we're gullible, and we are easy prey to wrong teaching. And that's going on all over the world. And why do we become ineffective many times as believers? Because we get sidetracked by whims, deception, things that's going on from outside the body of Christ and within the body of Christ that's come in, that's wrong. Putting the emphasis on man rather than on God. They aren't special individuals in the body of Christ. The only thing that makes anybody special in the body of Christ is because God gives them special gifts. It is free from God, right? And when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we run into a lot of trouble, don't we? We really do. It builds up jealousies. We get resentments. And we don't function the way God wants us to function. But God has given us a pattern here. In Ephesians chapter 4, is the clearest passage, down to verse 16, of how the church is ready to function. And there's other glimpses of it in Scripture. But we've got to get that and then take those functions, the principles that we see there in Scripture, apply it into the forms, the actual action plans, if you will, how we function as a church to make these things happen. And the better job we do, the better results will be, because it's according to what God wants to have accomplished. We'll be encouraged. When we're encouraged, we can encourage others, right? When we're discouraged, we're not much help, right? Have you ever been discouraged? No, nobody wants to admit that. Well, we've all been discouraged, right? But when we get discouraged, at least for me, what happens to me, I get my focus back on myself. If I have trouble with pride, I get my focus back on myself. And then God can't use me in either ditch. If we have high self-esteem or low self-esteem, as the world defines those things, if we think we're the greatest, or we think we're the worm of the earth, you know, either one is wrong. You realize that? We are who God made us to be. But He's gifted us now as believers that we can be His vessel, His unique vessel in the body of Christ, to use me the way He wants me to be used, if I'll submit to Him. But it does require commitment. It requires faithfulness. We've got to make some choices in our lives, do we not? We have to make some choices. I want God's glory. I don't want to get the glory. It's not about me. It's about God and His church, to see it grow and reach out to others. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank You for Your Word. Help us to grasp Your plan, Your program, that we be encouraged, that we realize Your goals and objectives for us. God, help us to move beyond seeing ourselves as we often do, and sometimes we think too highly of ourselves. Sometimes we think too lowly of ourselves, and we can't see that You can really use me. Father, help us to get our focus off of ourselves and onto You, that when we come here, we're focused on You, so that as we look at the Lord Jesus, we can reach out and love one another as You loved us. Lord, help us to be faithful, to encourage one another in the body of Christ, that we'd really reach out to different ones that we can be an encouragement to, that we broaden our horizons from just our close friends to others that we can minister to. And Lord, if you would lay on someone's heart here to reach out beyond our local church, to prepare themselves for ministry, to reach the ends of the earth with the gospel, or another community with the gospel, Father, I pray that you would open their hearts to respond to your training school to prepare them for that as well. Thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.